Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time mall shopper with grandchildren.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that has nothing against remakes or reboots, because we understand that every generation has to redefine the world as its members see it. That doesn't mean that we have to like everything we see, especially when we compare them to the original films that were pretty good in the first place. Spike Lee has remade at least two films, 2013's Old Boy, for example, and his latest effort is Highest to Lowest, starring Denzel Washington. While this film is based on the 1959 Ed McBain novel King's Ransom, it can't help but be compared to another McBain adaptation, namely Japanese filmmaker Akira Kurosawa's 1963 film High and Low. The three of us are going to discuss both films, beginning with what Lee has put on the screen, a film that, as is Lee's way, is a study of New York as well as an intense work of fiction. That work features Denzel Washington as David King, a record executive who, in the midst of a shaky financial deal, receives word that his son, played by Aubrey Joseph, has been kidnapped. King then faces a moral quandary: pay the ransom and face financial ruin, or let his son die. The moral question becomes even more challenging when it turns out that it wasn't his son who was taken, but the son of his longtime employee and friend, played by Jeffrey Wright. Unlike what Kurosawa and his fellow screenwriters emphasized, the focus, at least in the second half of their film, being mostly a police procedural, Lee is more concerned with King and his sense of self, which the character voices clearly enough all along, but especially during his eventual standoff with the kidnapper. It's abundantly clear that this is what Lee likes to refer to as a Spike Lee joint, from the way he constructs his film's title, with the two being rendered as a numeral instead of the standard two-letter preposition. And there are other Lee trademarks in Highest to Lowest as well, the most obvious being, one, a continuous, at times annoying musical score, even though he cleverly intertwines several pop standards, and two, his tendency to lovingly portray his city of choice, New York, with the sense of a true native. The two main questions that keep coming back to me, though, are one, why would Lee even make this movie? And two, how does it compare to Kurosawa's version? But let's hold off on that second query until after the break, when we'll get to Kurosawa himself.
Yeah, and I should probably say that I'm a much bigger Spike Lee fan than I think either of you, or I'm at least the biggest Spike Lee fan.
Correct.
I think that's the right way to say it, yeah.
So I was very excited for this one, but I was really surprised for, man, a really good chunk of the running time. I thought it was really stiff and unconvincing. I thought the dialogue was just full of all of this clunky exposition, the characters basically explaining their own function, the plot, to one another, as if they wouldn't know that stuff already. And I think you're totally right about the musical score. He always overdoes his music ever since his father composed music for his films. It's always kind of running.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always kind of running underneath the action. But here it's so overbearing and egregious, and it makes everything seem kind of sappy, especially when Washington has these big speeches. It's just like, what is this? An old made-for-TV movie or something? And Denzel's character is so unfailingly noble in this movie that it's almost silly. And he's called King David, of course. And even when he starts mulling over this idea of, well, it's not my kid, so maybe I don't actually pay the ransom. And, you know, he's got people in his orbit saying, the internet's going to rake you across the coals. And he goes, well, the news cycle is so fast, maybe they'll forget. And so you're supposed to sense this creeping, like, malevolence coming into the picture, but it's not believable at all. And then the character of his wife is so doting and put together that she's almost like a mannequin at times, where I thought, what is going on with this relationship?
It
was so strange. But then we get to the exchange of money, and he has built it all up so we know exactly how it's supposed to play out. Of course, we know, not only having seen the original film High and Low, but just knowing this kind of movie, we know it's not going to go exactly as planned. And it's around that time that I think the movie actually starts to work, and it pulled me all the way through to the end. It just kind of explodes with energy. As soon as King David gets out of his tower and actually has to go down into the real New York and be around real people, I thought Highest to Lowest really kind of came alive. And you've got that really fun heist sequence in the middle that involves the Puerto Rican Day Parade, because that's like a classic Hitchcock movie chase scene thing. It has to be interrupted by a parade. And then all these Yankees fans coming onto the subway, and all these guys on motorcycles, and it just gives like a little bit of flavor to this movie, and I thought it worked till the end, actually. And again, we've said it before about Denzel Washington, but he just has this power that even during these scenes that I wasn't totally believing, he just has a magnetism that you're drawn to. And as he became more and more obsessed with solving this mystery, because the cops at one point tell him, like, don't get involved, we're going to figure it out. But he already starts seeing all these holes in their investigation, and he wants to, you know, solve the mystery himself. As his intensity grew, my interest in the story increased as well. So I was not expecting to be on the positive side of this after the first quarter or half of Highest to Lowest, but I do think ultimately it worked for me. And that's the thing about a Spike Lee movie, is sometimes even his good movies are all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the case of a good movie that's all over the place.
I would agree totally with your last statement. Interestingly, I was more engaged during the first half of the movie, and I don't know why. The second half of the movie just felt ridiculous to me, but I wanted to focus a little bit on the performances, because Denzel, he does do that sort of careless stride, but menacing at the same time. And so he pulled off that aspect of the performance very well, because you didn't really know what was going to happen. You got the impression, because in Highest to Lowest, he was the best friend of his chauffeur from way back when, and his chauffeur had served time. And so we know that he had skirted with this sort of criminal world or whatever. Jeffrey Wright always acquits himself well, yeah. And in my opinion, there were a couple of misses. I thought the son, unfortunately, was kind of a zero character. And you mentioned in our talking that the wife was almost obsequious, almost in an insufferable way. And I would like to, there is a police procedural aspect to this movie, although it's short-circuited, as we can well imagine, because Spike Lee was not going to throw in his lot with the police being heroes in any way.
Although he did do that in Black Klansman, so.
True,
yeah.
But.
Although they're the villains as well.
I was going to say. But Dean Winter shows up as a police officer, and everybody's going to recognize him because he was in 30 Rock, he was in Oz, he was in Brooklyn 99, he was in Law and Order. But most recently, he's been playing Mayhem in the Allstate commercials. And he had a personal tragedy many years ago where he almost died. And so I like to see him getting work, but that was a miscast here because he just does not, unless he's friends with Spike Lee or something, and that could be the case. So the casting, I thought, was a little bit off. And also, is it supposed to be pointing out these class differences? If so, I don't think it did a good job in that respect. I mean, if you think of something such as Parasite, or we'll go back to talking about the original Kurosawa in the second half, that's where I thought it kind of missed, because there was a contrast, but it was too subtle and too heavy-handed at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. And I think that the thing about Spike Lee's films is very few of them are total masterpieces from the beginning till the very end. There's always something that goes off somewhere. And I think
except
we can
do the right thing.
Well, we can even argue about that. But, you know, my problem is, and I disagree with both of you, I thought Denzel hammed his way through most of this movie. I just did not buy him. I think as he's gotten older, he's gotten just more ham-handed in his performances, and that didn't work for me. Also, I totally agree with Dean Winters. I mean, I like the guy, but he drew so much attention to himself. That's such a dumb casting move. And I didn't like the heist scene either. And the reason why I didn't like the heist scene is I agree with your notion that it's similar to what Hitchcock had to do. But Hitchcock had a way of having it fill in fluidly with the rest of the tone of the film. And the first half of this film, it's so dire that when we get to the heist scene, it's just a total change of mood for me. And it's like, what are you trying to do?
Oh, and so, there were these switches that kept happening, just, and you didn't know who was who. And
I want to say the things I liked about it, he captures New York well, as he always does. It's well shot. The opening of this film was terrific, looking at the tower and the drone shot. But it did not work for me completely, although I was there with Highest to Lowest all the way through.
I want to talk about, though, because if Kurosawa's movie is a police procedural that's actually an examination of social strata, I think what this movie is about is summed up in two conversations that happened between King David and a criminal ringleader whose identity I don't want to spoil. Both of them, they're separated by glass, but they're different circumstances both times. And in those conversations, they're talking about the ways that art and power and media attention are all intertwined, especially in the Black community. And I think that's ultimately what this movie is about.
And we have to go, what, how many hours before we get there?
No, I don't think that's true. I think it's all the way through the movie he's talking about it. But in order to talk about that, I would spoil some things about it. But yeah. I like this movie more, even though I agree with you that it's not perfect in all the ways I've come to expect and sometimes love from Spike Lee.
Yeah. At any rate, that was our discussion of Spike Lee's Highest to Lowest, his adaptation of Ed McBain's 1959 novel King's Ransom. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to discuss another King's Ransom adaptation, Akira Kurosawa's 1963 film High and Low. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
70% of our listeners prefer to purchase products and services from public radio program underwriters, according to a recent NPR survey. Spokane Public Radio listeners appreciate program underwriters because they also help support the station and programs they listen to each and every day. You can find information about becoming a program underwriter and our current underwriters on our website at SpokanePublicRadio.org under Business Support Underwriting. Through this relationship, we can all help keep the region growing strong, whether it's our diverse business community or Spokane Public Radio.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discuss Spike Lee's new film, Highest to Lowest, which is his adaptation of the 1959 Ed McBain novel, King's Ransom. Let's now turn to another adaptation of McBain's novel, Akira Kurosawa's 1963 film titled High and Low. Actually, the title in Japanese translates more as Heaven and Hell, which reflects Kurosawa's attitude toward life as he portrayed it just 18 years after the World War in which Japan suffered such a devastating defeat. In its economic recovery during those first couple of decades following the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the distance between the country's halves, represented here by a shoe company executive named Kingo Gondo, played by the great Toshiro Mifune, and the have-nots, represented by the kidnapping character played by Tsutomu Yamazaki, was a great concern. Kurosawa spends the first full hour of his film studying Gondo, who, like Lee's character King, is racked by indecision about whether to do what's right if it's going to mean his losing everything he has worked for. The second half of Kurosawa's film plays out like your standard police procedural, something that Lee clearly wasn't interested in pursuing, with the lead investigator, played by Tatsuya Nakadai, overseeing a team that gradually and doggedly tracks down its man. Kurosawa, like Lee, shows his own filmmaking tendencies. Mifune's acting is, of course, just what you would expect from one of the screen's great performers. But it is Kurosawa who we always come back to, from our appreciation of his ability to create drama, even while moving his characters around in the limited space of a single room, or when he opens things up, his brilliant framing of scenes and use of pristine black and white imagery that captures a stunning variety of cast members' faces. So when it comes to choosing between Spike Lee and Kurosawa, to me the choice is obvious. At his best, Lee deserves all the respect in the world. Yet here, he's working in a form that Kurosawa helped define.
I'm a bit flummoxed here because, Dan, you gave one of the most thorough and eloquent introductions I think that's ever happened on this radio show. So I'm not really sure where exactly I should go with this, but I will do my best. Kurosawa is a master filmmaker. And I do believe that Spike Lee is as well, although I think he's a little bit more uneven, ultimately, over his career path. But what Kurosawa does in this particular film that I thought was brilliant is the fact that he is really making this social statement about what was happening in Japan. And Dan, you and I talked about the fact that we're talking about something in 1963. And so Japan is undergoing this transition. And when we were kids, you know, it would become sort of telling if you would pick up products and it said made in Japan. And so
because that was second rate.
That's what the perception was.
And there was a lot of it. Yeah.
And so that's part of what's going on in this film, because The shoe company, or at least, I mean, it's partially a MacGuffin, but the shoe company executives want to make more money. And so they're willing to churn out these cheaper products rather than the upscale Ferragamo type shoes that Gondo wants to continue to produce. Or at least that's what he says. In this film, I thought that it worked better, ultimately, than Spike Lee's Highest to Lowest, because it has more of a through line. And maybe that doesn't work. I mean, Nathan was energized by the last third of Spike Lee's movie, whereas I sort of felt pulled off center. Here, it's a much more linear presentation. But the stakes seem much higher to me. So this guy is going to lose his business if he doesn't make a decision about whether to save the kidnapped son of the chauffeur. Also, the chauffeur does not really seem to have any role in Gondo's life except as his driver. And that's in contrast to the Jeffrey Wright and Denzel Washington relationship in the earlier film. The wife in this particular film, oddly enough, it's 1963, and she plays a more significant role in some respects than did the spouse in the Spike Lee movie. And the children in the Kurosawa film are much younger. And I think that works better, too, because once you get the older late teen son into the mix in the Lee film, I don't know, something sort of got pulled off center.
But there's a loss of innocence.
Right. So what really worked for me was the sort of heist exchange thing here that Nathan called out in Spike Lee's film, because here there was much more tension associated with the heist. In the other one, you just see these faceless people on motorcycles, like changing this package and so forth. And this one, you felt like there were real people involved. And so that worked much better for me. But the most important thing about Kurosawa is the way he filmed this in this large apartment overlooking the city of Tokyo was just
Yokohama.
Was just amazing. And there's a scene here that takes place in a dance club, and that's
the
sort of
half,
that
yeah.
Spike Lee replicates by having it take place at a Puerto Rican Day parade. But Spike Lee doesn't spend enough time focusing on individual people in the crowd, whereas Kurosawa, I mean, the camera zooms in on these faces and you're like, wow, wow, wow. Where did he even find these people to be in the movie? So I think if I had never seen High and Low, maybe I would have appreciated Spike Lee's joint more. But since I did see it, eh.
Well, I would agree that this is the better of the two movies. I don't think that's a hot take, but I don't think this being makes the other one bad. But I do think that looking at this within the context of Kurosawa's career is really interesting, because this one, you said it came out in 1963. I think that's kind of near the end of what we would now consider like his imperial phase. I mean, that was a time when he was making one classic, still influential movie after another. And then after the 60s, as we talked about in our recent episode about his movie Ron, his fortunes faded in Japan seemingly overnight. If you just read
through history. Yeah, he must have gotten sideways with someone.
Yeah, and he just ran into roadblock after roadblock trying to make his movies.
Well, don't you think they thought he sold out to Hollywood in some
ways? They definitely thought that, because he was really one of the only Japanese filmmakers up to a certain point that had any cachet at the American box office, and that was because of movies like Rashomon, Yojimbo, and Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
High and Low, to me, feels like a piece with his 1960 film, The Bad Sleep Well, which is also about corporate politics. And it's about this man who rises in the ranks of a company pretty much just so he can get revenge on the guy at the very, very top. And they both feel like reactions to those cultural and economic changes that you mentioned that were happening in Japan at the time. Rewatching High and Low, this is one of those films of Kurosawa's. Ikiru is another one that has really grown in my mind. And I think it just takes maybe some years and experience when you go back to a movie and go, I was totally wrong about this before. Because the first time I saw it when I was much younger, I thought the first hour was so compelling. And the key tension here of, is this guy going to pay the ransom, was so fascinating. And then that handoff of the money on the train, which is a miraculous sequence. All of that was so good that I was sort of disappointed that it just became a police procedural. But watching it now, and having seen so many routine police procedurals, you realize, oh, he's basically creating this form. I mean, he'd done similar movies like this before. Stray Dog, for instance, feels kind of like a film noir police procedural. But it's fascinating to watch them the ways that they're trying to sniff out their suspects without all the technology we have now. So they're listening to recordings of the telephone call that the kidnapper makes and trying to listen to the type of train that's passing in the background. So it's got all those wonderful
little
things.
Yeah, the police work was really detailed for the time.
And they do become characters. You're right. The
absolutely.
Cops do,
So I liked that part. The other thing that Kurosawa's film High and Low, you mentioned that it sort of gave rise to this whole genre of police procedurals. It's also credited as one of the first kidnapping films. And I think that maybe that was too scary in the U.S. because of the Mann Act and, you know, all of this stuff like kidnapping people and taking them over, you know, state lines or the Lindbergh kidnapping. So I think that now we have a lot of kidnapping plot lines.
Well, and there was like a rash of kidnappings after this movie and in Japan. And maybe this had something to do with his changing fortunes. Kurosawa was almost blamed for it, and his own kid was the subject of a kidnapping threat. So it's fascinating now to go back and read about this movie within the context of what was happening in his career and in his country at the time. And on top of that, it's just a damn entertaining movie, you know. And again, so beautifully made. I mean, the shots in that house, you would think, I mean, even though it's got those big floor-to-ceiling windows, you would think it might be kind of claustrophobic. But the way that he frames everything in that house so that there's always something happening in the background.
In the corner.
Something
or
in the middle distance. So
the phone will ring, and you'll see the Gondo character on the phone, and various police officers, six or seven of them, pounced around him. It looks almost like a painting.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
And it was also much more realistic because there were other characters. There were servants in the household. And that was sort of odd about the highest to lowest. We saw only the chauffeur. There were no, like, maids, nanny, you know, nobody else.
And it's in black and white, but there's this amazing moment of color tinting that happens.
Yes.
That's a plot point that kind of takes your breath away a little bit. Yeah, this is great. And we should say, this is obviously streaming on Criterion Channel, lots of other places.
Yeah.
And Spike Lee's film, Highest to Lowest, is going to be on Apple TV Plus on September 15th. So you can watch both of them and compare them like we just did now.
And that was our discussion of Akira Kurosawa's 1963 film, High and Low. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbender, Murray Pat Truthart, and I discussed Spike Lee's film, Highest to Lowest, which is another adaptation of the 1959 Ed McBain novel, King's Ransom. Let's take this moment to thank Cassia Fox for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Until then, consider these words from Evan Hunter, the man behind the pseudonym Ed McBain. I know that all cops are not sterling characters, but you have to have someone to root for. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.